Welcome to Cobra Kai. This isn't your local dojo. This isn't your mama's house. There is no crying, no quitting, and no being a p-. You will strike first, you will strike hard, and you will show absolutely no mercy.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to LRM's No Mercy Podcast. I almost said podcast. The fuck is a podcast? LRM's No Mercy Podcast, where we've been covering all things Cobra Kai. We are reviewing episodes 4 through 6 this week. I am your sensei, Kyle Malone, master of stutter foo, joined by sensei Gomez, master of the DC hater defense style, and of course sensei Christine, master of indecision at McDonald's. So how are you guys doing today?
Pretty good.
Manny, how you doing, bud?
Pretty good.
Now I'm gonna go ahead and
can't complain.
Stop my video because it seems to be making things jump around a little bit, so that'll be all right. Anyways, so episodes 1 through 3 in the bag, some issues, some things we like, some things we don't. Episodes 4 through 6, personally, I'm feeling we're getting. I feel like a shift back to Cobra Kai, if that makes sense. Does it? You get that, Manny? Like these three? Christine, same thing? Like you're getting like an actual shift back to what Cobra Kai is to a degree, even though we do get quite a bit of the background that I seem to be the only one to want to know about, but we'll find out if Christine or Manny changes their minds. But, dude, we get a lot of the throwbacks in this block, this 3-episode block, especially with the episodes of Daniel in Japan. Manny, what was it like revisiting all of Karate Kid 2, basically over two episodes of Cobra Kai?
I liked it. And it was like you said, it was a kind of shift back to what the series usually is, with a little bit of an homage of what we have seen before in the films. We've talked a little bit about it, how I'm not very happy with, you know, Creasy's backstory, because I don't really feel like it's necessary. Yet now we're kind of going back in time now with something that we have seen before, and revisiting characters that. From that film, and I think it was done well. I think that the reasoning for him being there is a good one, obviously, because his business is you know, may go under if he doesn't deliver here, and it seemed to kind of, you know, calm everything down, but you know, after all of the madness that's going on back in the United States, and I guess that's what it's supposed to do. So it was very welcoming for me, and I enjoyed it.
What about you, Christine, this 3-episode block compared to the first 3?
I really enjoyed it. A lot of things, like I didn't see certain things coming, and like with Danny going to Tokyo, I had no idea how he's supposed to charm his way out of the situation, and I enjoyed it. It was fun.
So. Yeah, definitely. I already said my piece on it, so I say we just jump into episode 4, which was called the Right Path. It starts off actually kind of like on a downer. Daniel is rejected by Diona, and primary Japanese, you know, import for him, export for them at his dealership. That was the whole cause of a lot of the drama in the previous episode with his rival there in the valley. But he keeps trying to connect with Mr. Miyagi in some way during this episode. And it leads him to go back to Okinawa, and where he runs into, like I said, pretty much between this episode and next, we get a rehash of a lot of Karate Kid 2, but in a good way. But it all starts out, like I said, bad with a loss at the meeting. They say, no, we're not going to change our deal with your competitor. Thank you for your time. Get the fuck out of here. He's obsessed with getting it though. So he sticks around in Japan. Amanda's called him. And, like you said, there's shit going on back in the States. We know that, let's see here. We get Johnny and Miguel hooking back up, but basically Johnny making an attempt to hook back up, you know, or make back up. Hook up sounds so wrong. Make back up with his son Robbie. We get to spend more time with Robbie, which is good. And then also we get back to a lot of the kids stuff. There's all the rules at school because of the school fight are coming into play, and Miyagi-Do and Cobra Kai are trying to figure out ways around it. And there's a soccer match, and it's kind of a fun episode. But some of the most important things to take away is that, while in Okinawa, Daniel's depressed to find that Tomie Village, Mr. Miyagi's old, you know, home area, is now a shopping mall, and he gets a really like profound message from the information kiosk person about change and why the change was good for the people and why the people didn't complain. And that, you know, an old fishing village doesn't grow, doesn't make money. It doesn't keep people around. And I thought it was a great vessel for that message to come to Daniel. What'd you think, Christine?
Yeah, I mean, because he keeps getting stuck where he's like trying to find Mr. Miyagi, trying to find ways, like what would he do, which can be good, but also he needs to find things on his own. And then also he needs to not, you know, grasp so firmly on this bubble in his past, and he needs to move forward. So it was a good experience for him.
And that, Manny, leads us right into what he runs into to who next, which was he sees a dance going on, and then meets back up with Kumiko from Karate Kid 2. They have a drink. They reconnect, talk about past and present stuff. And she kind of sets him up in a really great way, but you have a lot of appreciation for this scene. So talk a little bit about why you are this part of the story, the trip to Japan. So dig into it a bit.
So the reason I really like it is kind of what you guys had already been talking about. He goes back to Okinawa and things are modernized. Kimiko even tells him, we used to have a Subway. Now we have a Jersey Mike's.
And yeah.
Very excited. And then telling him about the jobs and how it helped the people. So despite the fact that they had a very nice village, whatever you want to call it, they knew that in order to survive, in order to live, they needed to modernize and move on, move forward. And that's something that they weren't afraid to do as a community. And it's something that we see that Daniel struggles with, as he's always looking back for advice from Miyagi. And it what it made me think of is you're looking at this from the lens of Mr. Miyagi giving you advice to a teenager, to a kid.
Yeah.
You're getting all these lessons, but you have to understand that you're an adult now. You can take those lessons and you can apply them in a different way as an adult for you and your family. And so I think that was probably a good metaphor in these episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that. And then she goes on to maybe even further his, you know, calm him down and get that voice back in his head in the right way with those letters that Mr. Miyagi had written to her aunt, and which I thought was really, really great. I mean, I almost felt like crossing my legs on the floor and you know, listening. he got to hear some of Mr. Miyagi's last words and how he expressed himself about himself to somebody else, mm-hmm. which I know had to have been great for him. And now it's going to be about what does he do now? Because yes, your Miyagi lessons are there, but you're an adult. You're facing new adversaries and new situations that you were never going to face as a teenager. Mm. So how are you going to adapt and make the most of it based on the upbringing that you have? And so I think Okinawa as itself was a metaphor for, hey man, we were able to move on, and you need to do the same.
Mm. Yeah, and that moving on might have some familiar faces, but be very different. After words, let's return to the United States for a quick minute and talk about what Johnny Lawrence is up to. One thing is he's trying to make up for the time that he missed with not seeing his son Robbie in jail instead to see Miguel, which we talked about last week. German, he's at a soup kitchen, like a homeless food shelter type place, doing community service, which is the only way Johnny could get to see him. They have a talk, and when it comes out that Johnny basically, you know, the way Robbie feels, ditched him to visit Robbie in the hospital,
Miguel
in the hospital. He basically, you know, boots his dad out. There's a scene where they spill some soup and those bullies that were beating his ass and bullying him in the last block give him more shit about it. And Johnny leaves that one. He leaves that. And then he goes to Miguel. But before we go to Miguel, now we gotta go play over at the school. Do you guys got anything profound about Robbie and Johnny? I mean, this is exactly what I expected to happen between the two.
I was expecting it too. I mean, that's normally what a young person would do. It's like, you know, this parent that hasn't been present in my life tries to make an effort to be there, but then shows something completely different. Like the words and the actions do not match. And it's like, yeah, I'm sorry. No, you're done. You need to leave.
Yeah.
So
anything profound on it, Manny?
Nothing profound. Just, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you expect from a, like, I mean, if I put myself in Robbie's shoes and I was in jail and my dad was hanging out with some other kid, man, fuck that.
Yeah.
You know, and I will say that I find the homeless lady a lot more entertaining.
Yes.
Than Stingray.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
I love that. Are you following me?
she's a good good throwback there. Over on the school side of things, the no contact, the tension between Cobra Kai and Miyagi-Do students, you know, Kreese, of course, we get to hear him, you know, hyping up his crew and stuff like that. But Dimitri is showing off his completion of a school project he's doing with Sam and I can't remember the other girl's name. She's one of the
Sam wasn't there yet. It was Moon and then the blonde girl.
Moon and the mean girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll okay. But anyways, Hawk and some Cobra Kai guys are over there. They see the display, which is mostly Lego, and purposely hit it with a soccer ball and destroy it. This of course, you know, trigger shit. Sam shows up. There's a slight scuffle. The teacher comes over and starts talking to Hawk about whether or not Sam invaded his personal space. And I love this because it just irks me so much that there are people like this. Hawk plays the whole, yeah, I needed a safe space and she made me feel unsafe and triggered and then he fucking calls them, you know, pansies after they basically get in trouble and he gets away with it.
I don't know. To me, this is really frustrating because teachers aren't like this. Teachers know that some kids can be manipulative little shits. And it's just like, you can't be that dumb lady. So just with, I mean, it's, you know, obviously kind of frustrating, but also funny, like, you know, just like, crap, I can't believe you got away with this kind of thing. So, but yeah, like the teacher gets on my nerves.
She's the one that had the hugging idea.
Yes. Don't make kids hug themselves, like hug each other. Like teenagers that hate each other. That's dumb.
Ooh, what were you gonna say, Manny?
No, I say I'm frustrated with adults in general in this series.
Yeah. Not very good at adulting.
I think that's kind of like I don't honestly know much about the showrunners themselves. I really don't, or the writers, but it does seem like this show is that 13, 14 year old self in us. When we see parents or parents, friends, adults, teachers doing the wrong thing and we're sitting there screaming at them, this wrong thing is affecting us, fix it, and it doesn't happen. This kind of seems like a big letter or treatise or dissertation or something on that aspect. Do you get what I'm saying, Manny?
Yeah.
Christina,
because like you've had like issues, like you'll hear about it, like where parents they have issues controlling themselves, like at like kids' soccer games and stuff, mm-hmm. where it's like they act more like children than their children. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, one of those things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But also remember, all you 16-year-old kids, still remember that somebody with 20 more years of experience than you does still have that experience. They might not be using it in the smartest way, but that doesn't mean that they're completely clueless. The school stuff ends in this, was the soccer game in this one, or is that in this? Yeah. The school stuff basically ends in a tough soccer game with the kids, you know, really, tripping each other up, slide tackles that are really, really bad, you know, basically fighting through. It was Kung Fu soccer. It was, Stephen Chow's Kung Fu soccer. There wasn't a racist joke. That was a legitimate fucking movie, and it's great. And God, I wish Stephen Chow would come back with some good stuff. I heard they were gonna do a Kung Fu Hustle too. I don't know how I feel about that.
Don't do it. Just do it alone.
Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it alone. But I do. I liked. I didn't see the basketball hall one he produced but didn't direct. But shot. Kung Fu Hustle and Shaolin Soccer. It wasn't Kung Fu Soccer, it's Shaolin Soccer. Anyways, there we go. The soccer game ends. The coach blows the whistle, sends the two teams to the principal's office. That same counselor, principal, vice principal, whatever that lady is, she basically listens to Cobra Kai's side, doesn't give Miyagi-Do their day in court, and gives them detention, gives Sam extra detention for mouthing off, and then Sam storms off. I think that covers pretty much all the stuff at the school, right, Manning? Analyzing these kids and what they're doing to each other at school.
They're the dumbest teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Who are watching this damn soccer game, because none of these moves are even close to legal in soccer. I mean, most of those offenses are red card offenses.
Yeah.
And obvious. And so after the first, like if it would have been like one and somebody gets kicked out, and then one other instance and somebody gets kicked out, and then, you know, that, and then that's when it ends, fine. But the amount of time, the length of time that they let this go on, It seemed almost comical and not very good.
Yeah.
Especially after, you know, what happened. And I mean, they should be on high alert. I mean, they started the season with no karate, you know, in mm-hmm. school, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's these same damn kids who are, you know, there should be, so I can see why the, Christine was talking about, you know, the teachers and how they wouldn't act that way.
Yeah.
I completely agree. And the soccer match is just another example of that.
Yeah.
I will say, though, shout out to Dimitri, because I like the fact that he's growing a backbone.
Yes. Yeah. I have enjoyed seeing Dimitri more this season than normal. He's usually so just like, oh God, dude, stop talking, please.
Yeah, I know.
Let's see here. Miguel and Johnny. No, I don't want to go there yet. Let's talk Robbie back in jail, because he gets into more crap with his cellmates, yeah. You know, because of what happened at the food place, the food drive,
soup kitchen.
There it is. And a fight breaks out. That was this episode, right?
Yes.
Yes. The fight breaks out in this episode. Basically, he gets fed up with the kids bullying him, And I want to make sure I'm right and I'm not skipping out here, because yeah, most
it's
in this one. He gets tired of it. He goes and he deals with his bullies, this time beating their ass pretty decently. And then when the fight gets broken up again after taking far too long, again, adults, guards, pieces of shit. One of his adversaries says, did you snitch? And he's like, no. And he's like, well, neither did I. And they apparently now have an understanding. And I guess Robbie's going to have a better time in juvie. The fight, at least choreography, was better this time. Manny? Yeah. Or Christine? Go ahead.
I was going to say that you forgot to mention that Kreese had visited.
Yeah, that's right.
And gave him the advice to strike first. So he took that advice because he kept getting bullied. But yeah, like I just don't get that, the look on their faces when they realize that they didn't, that the other person had said that they didn't snitch, and it's just like, oh yeah, then I guess we're kind of cool then. It's like, no.
That's
not how that works.
I'm still not cool. I'm not cool with if I'm them. Are you cool if you're them, Manny?
With what exactly?
With what's been going on with Robbie and his bullies after he beats their ass.
I mean, I get it. There's always going to be like prison fights and stuff like that. I mean, it's depicted in every series, movie, whatever you want to call it. But at the same time, if this is a juvenile detention center, I mean, obviously there's a lot of different ones, but usually there's quite a bit more vigilance around, and with them being watched, especially if, like, I don't think that he'd have all that access to a computer just on his own in the room by himself.
No, not without a guard in there. It's not a mental facility; it's a detention facility.
Yeah. Right. So you know that's kind of, you know, it is what it is. It works for the purpose of the scenes and for the moment. But you know, we have to kind of see him go through this to kind of become more of a badass, you know, to kind of the darker Robbie that we know has been in there since we first met him in the first season, because he's gone through so much and life's taken away so much from him. And at some point he's gonna crack, and this might be the beginning of that, especially now with a cobra Kreese coming in.
Yep.
And starting to whisper little things in his ears. I think that it's going to make for a very interesting relationship.
And he seems really similar to another fractured young soul by the name of Tori.
Yeah.
I hope they don't go that route.
No. I think they're going that route, Christine.
No, that's awful. Please don't do that.
Kreese talking to Johnny when he's like, you know, yeah, you're in a bad place. I probably put you there. I love the 3-minute thing with the cop. Like the cop's like, let me get a coffee or
a sandwich.
Or something. Yeah, yeah. And the guy's like, all right, give me 3 minutes. And Johnny's tells Kreese, you got 3 minutes. Because when that cop leaves, if you're still here, I'm going to beat your ass, basically. And Kreese tries to tough love him again, and Johnny doesn't take it. Says, gives him a death threat. Says, if you, you know, come back, if you fuck with Miguel, anything, I'll fucking kill you. And Johnny then decides that it's time to go back to Miguel. We get a cool, that tough love scene about getting the phone off the table from the trailer, which was pretty funny. I was happy to see Johnny tell Kreese to fuck off. Weren't you? How about you, Manny?
Yeah. I mean, what else are you going to do? I'm more worried about the fact that every time, it's a constant behavior, but for a protagonist, it's concerning to me how hard he usually takes emotional moments because he ends up at a bar.
Yeah.
Every time. So I do feel for him in that way. But yeah, there's no reason why he should be listening to Kreese.
Yeah. So yeah. Fuck that guy.
Exactly.
Even though they do spend some time teaching us how or at least showing us that Kreese at least starts out as Captain America, a bullied kid working in a diner that saves a young lady from her machismo filled boyfriend who had Mr. Miyagi's car, right?
Yeah.
We learn that Kreese, you know, he gets in a fight, saves the girl, asks her out on a date, and joins the Marine Corps. But the ending of the episode basically is Chosen from Karate Kid 2 showing up, where Daniel and Kumiko is, and it's a pretty intense little showdown and end of that. There's a lot of reaping and sowing type stuff going on in this block. And there's a lot of seeds planted in this episode. So it's going to be cool to move into the next. Because of some of the ridiculousness with the adult stuff in the soccer game, a little bit of the pacing with these four stories in this one episode, I gave it a B+. So what do you give it, Manny?
This episode gets a B+ for me too.
Oh, cool.
I thought it was well done. Better fighting.
Yep.
Good, taking it back kind of to what originally Cobra Kai is supposed to be, and just enough of, you know, the new kids and everything in between. So it was pretty solid for what we've seen so far in season 3. It may be the best episode I've seen so far.
Yeah, and I was wrong that prison fight I described does happen in the next episode between Robbie. Yeah,
I was thinking about it.
And Sean. It's hard when we watch these. you try to write down notes and stuff and things run together. But the next episode
we're talking about that episode next.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've already talked about it, so we won't have to talk
about
it.
The next episode is it's kind of a little bit more focused. We've got that prison thing I already said Chosen showed up in episode 4. Now we're on episode 5.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I said Chosen shows up, and it's a real tense situation.
I'm sorry.
Yes, I will verify he did say that. Okay.
and indeed, it was tense, correct?
It was nice. Yeah, it's like dun dun dun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Dude, his face.
Yeah,
I would be shocked too. Like, what is going on here?
Oh man. So there's Johnny and Miguel going through rehab stuff. There's the Robbie in jail, which we already covered. You guys know he ends up having issues with his dad, gets in a fight in jail, earns respect with Sean, I guess is the bully's name. But the two most important things in this are Miyagi-Do versus Cobra Kai in a Dave and Buster's meets Putt-Putt at the mall again. And Daniel learning that he doesn't know everything there is to know about karate, which of course, you know, was brought over to Japan from China through Okinawa, historically speaking. Chosen is going to be his guide in some really cool, fun throwbacks. And I don't know. I really enjoyed this episode, Manny. What about you?
Yeah, I did. I like that. So you take what you know and what's old, and then you integrate it with something new, but at the same time it's you know, Miyagi-Do, and it's something that he didn't even know. I thought that was clever.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who delivered the message to him in Chosen, I thought was a great move.
That's
one of my favorite part of the episode is, and then, oh man, I'm a sucker for when in movies they do like those like pressure point techniques where
hold
and stuff like that. I love that.
Yeah, we'll get there. For those of you that may not have seen The Karate Kid Part 2 and don't know Chosen, you do get to see what happens in this episode, but Karate Kid 2, Daniel fights Chosen in a real fight to the death, but decides to spare Chosen's life in a very, very unique way. But we'll get there too. It's set up by Kumiko, and she's like, look, you've got things to learn. You need to learn about giving up the past, not regrets, grudges and things like that, resentment. And it's funny when Daniel's like, I'm gonna get a drink, and Chosen's like, I'll get it, and Daniel's like, no, it's good. No, I'll get it. It's slams it down on the table and stuff.
Yeah, it was really weird watching it. It's like, you know, because he was just like so intense and so angry. I'm like, is this gonna be okay?
Excuse me, Daniel gets to go off with Chosen. Kumiko says, hey, you know, you two have a lot to discuss. Chosen takes him around. They eventually end up in a dojo. There's Miyagi-Do connections. Chosen reveals that his own master taught Mr. Miyagi. So Mr. Miyagi had the same master as Chosen, and then Mr. Miyagi taught Daniel, and then Chosen was taught by his master, and it turns out that they both learn, you know, that the Miyagi-Do is passed down from before Mr. Miyagi that we know from the movies. Daniel sees a slip scroll that he wants with a technique he's guessing or a secret, and he wants it, and so Chosen's like, okay, we'll fight for it. The fight at the dojo, I enjoyed. I thought it was cool. I like later on when we get to who training outside, but I really like the intensity and the mystery that Chosen was building, and also so how he laid breadcrumbs for us, the viewers, and Daniel to pick up. And we kind of got to go on the discovery of, oh, there's more to this than even we as the audience know. I like that aspect. Christine, what do you think?
Yeah, I was really surprised. There's really no, you already said it. So.
Manny, anything?
Yeah, no, you said it. yeah, you covered it, man. I agree.
Yay me. Alrighty then. So I want to continue and kind of cover just everything with Chosen, and then we'll go elsewhere. When they go to train outside, Daniel is a little bit more trusting of Chosen at this time. They agree, you know, to the training and all that, and it gets really intense as Chosen's revealing more history, and Daniel's, you know, learning that there's more to Miyagi-Do just like he learned there was more to Mr. Miyagi, more to Tomie Village, more to everything, when all of a sudden Chosen seems to have a switch go off in his head, and he uses a new technique that you mentioned where he does pressure points, eliminating Daniel's ability to use those extremities, and he's like, oh my god, what's going on, what are you doing to me? And they recreate the scene from Karate Kid 2 with the live or die, and recreate it with the honk of the nose, and Chosen starts laughing.
That was hilarious.
I liked it a lot. Christine, what'd you think?
I was so surprised by that. I was like thinking the worst, you know, he's gonna do some damage to Danny. And nope, it was just like this random right there.
It's
like, okay.
When you first saw what was happening, Manny, did you think for a second Chosen was going to really hurt Daniel and get a little revenge or what, man?
Nah, I saw this coming the whole way.
It's good though, wasn't it?
It was good. Yeah, I didn't know what exactly was going to happen. I thought maybe he would like give him a little slap or something, or I don't know, but a honk of the nose. I don't know why I didn't see that specific like movement happening, but something goofy. I expected something to happen, because they had already been talking for a while, and you know, if he was going to be, you know, if it was going to be something vile and something like that, then it was going to happen. He wasn't going to be so forthcoming with information.
I would have been going out to the woods to do the violence instead of doing it inside the city and in the building I got to clean.
Yeah, it was also the messing with him.
Yes.
Daniel had his guard down.
Yes.
So it was kind of like that, the surprise, the fear, instead of it being where Daniel was expecting it before, like he had his guard up, but then when he let it down, it was, you know, a shock to him. So like, to me, that's why I thought it would be, you know, when that scene was happening out in the woods, I was like thinking, yeah, that's what he was trying to do. It was messing with him, and now he's probably going to hurt him or something, but that didn't happen. So that's good.
Yeah. It's a great, great, fun scene. At the end of the day, Daniel and Chosen split off. Daniel asks to learn the technique. He gets the scroll that he had originally wanted from Chosen for his Miyagi collection. He goes back to meet with Kumiko at Tomie Village and meets Yuna, the young girl he saved during the typhoon in Karate Kid 2. She turns out to be the vice president of sales for Daioma and saves the day for Daniel and LaRusso Automotive. Anything else on Daniel's trip in this episode?
Yeah, there was one thing.
What's
that? The giving up of the scroll that he had.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he didn't just like make a copy. He could have given the original, you know, like, here you go. Why don't you have this? But at least have a copy.
I'm sure he's took a picture of it.
Oh, I hope so. They didn't cover that. I was like, just because you know it doesn't mean that you should pass it down.
If I had any ancient scrolls in a collection, I would definitely have photos of them, right, Manny?
Yeah, but then also I don't know if that would be seen as like disrespectful, you know, or it kind of it taints the honor of it, kind of like if you know with the black saber, you remember that the Mandalorian was like, here, you can have
guess, but I would be about preserving the history, and just in case, you know, something happens, we are an island nation, you know, I would want at least a backup so I could know what it said.
Yeah, even if it's not scanned in, you can at least like just, you know, handwrite it on something else.
yeah, that's true. Let's talk about how the Kreese. No, I want to talk about Kreese's stuff real quick. He is no wait. We don't get to see him start his
That's
the next episode. Good. Okay, never mind. We're fucking skipping Kreese until next episode. Sam and Cobra Kai and Miyagi-Do, or Sam and Miyagi-Do and Hawk and Cobra Kai square off at, like I said, this Dave and Buster's type thing. They end up getting in a big fight in a laser tag scene. Tori shows up. Cobra Kai gets the upper hand. Take out the Miyagi-Do students. Eli Hawk has Dimitri down on the ground. Tori eggs him on. They want punishment for what happened to Miguel. And Eli snaps Dimitri's arm while Sam cowers in the corner suffering a panic attack. And Eli both smiles and then looks scared and then smiles and then looks scared. And then yeah, it's pretty freaking intense. Yeah, what about this fight, Manny?
That was fucked up, dude.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, because we've seen them do a variety of things, and not to say, I mean, hell, at the end, what, even the fight at the end of season two was not necessarily a rivalry between dojos happening. It was a giant mess between Tori, Sam, you know, all of them, and you know, it was teenage stuff.
Yeah.
But this right here, you know, they're going in and messing with one of Miyagi-Do's students, his where he works, and obviously I don't know if that was meant to be on purpose or just happens to be that's where he worked, and obviously because kids go there, that's where they went. But you know, it rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, just because at that point, you know, if you're snapping somebody's arm as a parent, even as a kid, I'm calling the cops. I'm trying to press charges here.
Yeah.
It's not okay. This is not a dojo robbery anymore. This is assault.
Yeah, this.
And then at the same time, you know, all of the crap that they're doing at this arcade, that's another charge that you can bring up against these kids, and it's to another level that I understand that you needed to kind of showcase how bad they were, but I think this was a little too far.
I can't wait to talk about the next episode. So then, it's brutal, Christine.
Honestly, I just don't know why the kid that was working at this arcade didn't just call the cops.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure they have security cameras already solved. Like, you didn't have to lift a finger except to just dial the number and let the cops handle it, get him out. And you don't even have to say that it was you that did it, just someone that worked there, the security. If they had confronted, like, Cobra Kai confronted them later, like, oh, you snitched on me? But like, oh, well, security, you know, they saw you do it. Sorry, they called the cops on you, you right. know, and instead of, you know, causing, you know, more pain for yourself. I mean, it sucks to lie like that, but sometimes it's necessary. But you know, it's going too far. It keeps doing that. So I don't get it. And then the same with this, like, why didn't when Dimitri is in the hospital and Amanda shows up and starts, you know, getting onto Sam, Amanda should have just called the police. She's the adult. And I don't know, these people are confusing me, but it was intense. And yeah, I was not expecting that.
Yeah. That whole situation ends up with Amanda going to Cobra Kai and bitch smacking Kreese, which is awesome. I liked it. Manny, you like it?
Oh yeah.
I'm always down to see parents appropriately throw down for their kids. And at that point, yes,
he couldn't make calls to, you know, anyone else. But yeah, that's what she did.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, and we learned why it was a bad move, but it definitely needed to happen, and it sure as hell felt good for her, I bet, and felt good to see.
Yeah.
And then the other story we got this episode is Miguel and Johnny trying to figure out how to do physical therapy. You know, Miguel's doing yoga at the beginning and Johnny doesn't buy into that shit. Miguel's mom is like, look, you gotta, you know, you can do your thing your way, but don't badmouth the other people trying to help him their way. I like when he looks up WebMD and calls it WebMD.
Yeah. I bet that took a little time to get that right, to pronunciate that the way that the show wanted it. Cause it, you know, it's very unnatural to say it that way. Cause it's WebMD, but yeah, it's funny.
And he does all sorts of things, including the booby magazine, the swimsuit magazine on girls are better on page.
Oh gosh.
I always make that joke these days whenever I drive by a novelty and video store. For those of you that don't know what it is, I shall quote Homer Simpson. It's a pornography store. I was buying pornography. Anyways, where are we at? Yeah, the magazine thing was funny. I like the comments, and then the shoes on fire reminded me of the new guy, but he's like climb the rope and here comes a little inspiration. Oh, yeah. Or whatever. He lights the rope on fire. roll around, you'll be all right. Eventually, you know, none of that works, but they stick at it. They go to this Dee Snider concert. Dee Snider was lead singer for Twisted Sister, and they sneak a man under the pretense of like make a wish type stuff, crack a couple beers, and enjoy some 80s glam rock. And lo and behold, Miguel's foot starts tapping. This is what Cobra Kai started as. This is what it's all about, Manny. I really enjoyed seeing Johnny with Miguel again.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. This is me kind of being nitpick, but I'd enjoy it more if he tried this hard with his own son.
Yeah,
I think as a dad, like I'm a little resentful for it, just because, like I get it, Miguel needs that attention, but Jesus Christ, Robbie is in jail.
Yep, I agree. I 100% agree. I think, like I said earlier, I feel like season three is suffering a bit from setting season four up. And I also think there may have been some shift in writing. I'm not sure on specifics, but sometimes I'm feeling like maybe there's too many stories going on here, and some of this stuff was added to get to the season four stuff. I'm not 100%, but everything does feel a little overstuffed on that end. The last thing I guess we could say about that is, it does suck because he's got Robbie there and he's got a chance. He did make an effort and Robbie did kick him away. And me personally, I'm that guy. I'm going to go back and keep getting kicked away. But maybe in his mind, he's like, he kicked me away. Let me give him a couple weeks. And during these couple of weeks, let me put that time to good use. Do you think maybe that? No, you think he's giving up on Robbie?
Not that he's giving up on Robbie, but this is not a good idea.
He doesn't have the will for it either.
Yeah, because I mean, like with kids, I mean, Robbie had said that out of anger,
mm-hmm.
and at the moment, you know, he's done. But like, you don't know how he's going to feel later, where it's like, you know, one of those times where he's going to feel really lonely, and no one shows up to see him. He hasn't seen anyone in a while. You know, this has got to be, you know, such a terrible experience to go through. And if it would feel like those walls would be weakening if my dad had come in and kept trying and trying and trying every single time, you know, over time, it would, you know, the walls would weaken and I might give him another chance. But, you know, Johnny's not doing that. So
I guess, I mean, I get it. Trust me. Like I'm a dad of a son too, that's special needs. And I'd cut my own bleeding heart out with a spoon if it would give him a better day. But I also know what it's like to be an angry teenage kid and want time. I don't know. Maybe we'll see if it plays out that way. It could. I hope that is the case. He's just like giving Robbie a little bit of space. Maybe he's keeping tabs on him by calling, whatever. I'm thinking way too. The writers aren't thinking that much into it. I'm putting real life into it. Anyways, I give the episode an A- overall. Love all the flashback stuff. Love getting back to Cobra Kai. Can agree it is kind of sad seeing Robbie, but I think Manny, what you said earlier, seeing that dark side in Robbie again. We've been talking about that line from the trailer since we started this podcast. You know, I thought we were the good guys. That whole switching seeds, sides, reaping what you sow, seeds being planted earlier, and it's all coming around. But yeah, I give it an A-. Manny, what do you got?
Give it a B-.
B-. Why?
Yeah, I didn't. The whole scene with breaking the arm.
Oh, okay.
I didn't like that. And then also, although I did like Amanda hitting Creasy in the face, it just doesn't seem like the right reaction. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot going on with not much happening.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. I guess I enjoyed a lot of the Johnny and Miguel stuff. Christine, what do you got?
B plus. The last one. I don't know if I had said it, but B plus for that one as well.
Yeah, we were B pluses across the board.
I don't know if I had said anything. You did. Did I don't remember speaking.
Oh.
Okay. The reason why I said B plus, there's just some things that took me out of it, like the jail thing and the fight where it was just really intense, like too intense. And then of course, you know, Amanda assaulting Kreese, you know, so it's kind of like, yeah, you really shouldn't have done that, but it was fun to watch. But then it was partly like, you know, that's not smart. So yeah, B plus.
Alrighty then. I think we're going to see some connections between Miyagi-Do's past and Kreese's distant past. I mean, before Kreese, somebody that taught Kreese, because as we all learned in episode 4, Kreese did join the military, and we find out in 6 he spent some time in Nam. Well, we already knew he spent time in Nam, but we're going to actually get to see Nam. In Nam, and we're going to cover the Kreese stuff first. In Nam, we basically see him being tasked with what was going to be the formation of special forces. I've got a lot of issues with a lot of the military stuff all throughout this episode. Uniforms. Oh my God, guys, it's Vietnam. All we had were OD greens. Where the fuck is this tiger stripe shit coming from? You had OD greens. That's what you had. And the fatigues. And those eventually became BDUs. But no, you didn't have that shit. No.
Maybe they didn't have. Shut up. No, that was
stupid.
Find enough? I don't know.
You can make it. They got a costume department. That was, dude, that's like anytime on TV. And so help me God, anyone out there that ever works in TV, if you ever put a soldier on screen and have them put their collar up again, I'm probably gonna punch you in the kidney when I meet you. That's not how we wear the goddamn uniforms. Anyways, Kreese is recruited by a captain. I didn't catch his name. Did anybody catch his name?
I don't know. I'm going to pull it up.
Let's see here.
I'm working on it. Almost there.
I don't see it. Do you got it, Christine?
I'm almost there. Captain Turner.
Turner. Okay. So, Kreese gets his recruitment. He's told that in order to fight the Vietnamese, he's got to learn hand-to-hand combat. And you can see that the captain is obviously, you know, trained in martial arts. Kreese agrees. He says he knows some people that will help out with a mission that they're gonna do in Nam, and the mission ends up going awry. But before it goes awry, we learn that there's some bad news regarding something at home for Kreese. We're guessing dealing with his girlfriend, either Dear John or possibly she passed away. Regardless, Kreese freezes during the mission and doesn't detonate charges because one of his teammates is in the blast zone, even though Turner was telling him to do it. And it appears they get captured, and it appears that they kill the guy that Kreese was trying to keep from dying by not detonating. I'm not sure if the story we're seeing is 100% true, Christine. What do you think?
I think maybe, although I don't know. I don't know.
I'm wondering, I don't mean necessarily a lie. I'm wondering if there's a fractured person, not necessarily schizophrenia, but like a fracture for him where he's got made up memories.
I know, but then they would make it seem like he was thinking about it instead of just showing us, and instead of just like, here's the information.
Well, because almost every time they come out of that, isn't it like a scene either starting or ending with him? I don't know. What do you think, Manny? You think we're seeing the truth?
I don't care for the story regardless. he can say whatever he wants. He's just an asshole, and I'm not.
This is.
It doesn't matter what you tell me about.
He's a bad guy.
Past in a low budget a flashback. I'm so when these scenes are happening, I'm not really.
Oh really?
I'm not that really into it because I'm almost ready to fast forward.
Mm.
I know.
Like I said, I was interested in it. Mostly because I want to make sure he's a bad guy always. And that's why I'm still holding out hope, because right now it looks like they're going to try to make him sympathetic. And I've said it before, I don't want that. But I think that covers Kreese in.
I had something to say. I'm wondering with this whole situation, this whole part of the story, if like, in order to get him to be that bad guy that he is, like maybe they're trying to explain a little more to where it's like maybe he was nice and then it's like he hit a point, like I don't know, with after being captured, maybe
being they a POW.
Torture. Yeah, maybe they torture him.
But that makes him sympathetic. I don't want that.
No, because then when he comes out of it and it turns out like maybe she's been cheating on him and leaves him and he goes into a rage, maybe he, I don't know, maybe hurts her or hurts someone he knows or, you know, something like that, to where it's like he's lost, like the person he was before is gone,
mm-hmm.
to where it's not really sympathetic, it's just like that's what he was.
No, that still makes it sympathetic because the war breaks him and changed him. The war did it.
Yeah, but
he should still be punished, but you know, war changes people.
I don't see that as sympathy because I wouldn't be sympathetic.
I don't,
considering how he's been abusive to children and
I agree.
Yeah. So it's like, no, there's no,
like I said, he should be punished. And I'm not saying that any, like a judge would take sympathy on him. I'm saying as a character, it gives him a sympathetic arc because people are like, oh, he's PTSD, POW. He was abused. And while it doesn't excuse it, it puts it in context. I don't want to see that. I'm not asking Manny because he doesn't give a fuck. So on the modern time, Kreese is doing what his captain was doing, and he's recruiting people. He goes and gets what he calls the natural athletes, because Cobra Kai was made up originally of all the losers.
Yeah.
And he says this is what we're missing is these natural athletes. And really, it's just another thinning the herd move. He says, you know, in order to join Cobra Kai, you got to do it through combat. So he pits people against people. You lose, what was it, Ass Face?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. One of the chubby kids gets beat. He gets kicked out. The bullies, Eli's bullies from season one, including the a guy that was interested in Sam, dated Sam for quick minute.
Tall, skinny guy.
Yeah. He ends up facing someone, beats him using some decent moves, but he's a grappler. And I'll tell you what, Manny, I hate matches that end in grappling.
Really?
I do. I get it. It's technical, and I got it. You beat my ass. You lock me up. I you'll win. Sure, you get your hands on me, you're going to win. Get your hands on me first, I'm going to have a gun. But no, like I give credit where it's due, but dude, I miss the days of UFC when parents were boycotting movie gallery for renting it because it was a blood sport. So I didn't. When I saw that kid fucking lock him up and grapple. Grappling is very, very technical, very skilled. You guys all can beat my ass, but I'm sorry, you're not knocking anyone out. The fuck up.
It's not that kind of fight. You know, that's the thing. He was like using the style that he knew, but like he's gonna be learning. He doesn't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, I just,
he did it.
You know, I just don't see,
but he'll eventually learn karate.
I just don't. Other than competition, which obviously is a high schooler where he learns it, other than competition, I and only because we can't have blood sports, you know, you can't kill people in real life, but grappling in real life, just unless you're a prison guard or something, or school resource officer, I don't know. I like fights. I like people beating the shit out of each other.
It's like saying like oh, tennis is terrible. You're not going to use that, but it's fun.
No, tennis is boring.
That person who's playing it is obviously playing it because it's fun for them.
I don't know.
A big part of USC though. So.
Oh yeah, no. Like I said, I take nothing from them or what they do or how great they are at it. I like punching and kicking people in the face on film. I do. I like it. I think it looks good.
Oh.
Anyways, I pick on grapplers a lot. It's, I guess, maybe a bit of an inside joke, but legitimately, I was like, oh, really? The wrestling move? But we learn a little bit about more of what the snake Kreese has been doing. He lets Tori fight. Tori wins her fight. And then has Hawk fight one of his former bullies, the heavier set one. And Hawk, who has been showing the intimidation during the whole time, even asking, you know, Kreese, you know, these aren't the right guys, we should get rid of them, all of a sudden, you know, undoes the shirt, goes full classic Cobra Kai Hawk, and almost murders a kid. Again, this time he gets up. I don't know. I think he's lost. What do you think, Manny?
I have a problem with that whole scene, with the way that it was all done, just because of the fact that you're taking it back to season one,
mm-hmm.
to some of these people who were original bullies. Then you have the ones who have been turned into bullies.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're bringing back the bullies. So I'm supposed to be sympathetic to the guy who just broke somebody else's arm?
Nope.
The episode before?
Yeah. No.
And, you know, happening. It's if it's going to happen, you know, it's too soon. And we've already gone back and forth. So it's it really took me out of it, because you know, I didn't like the fact that it happened in the first place in the previous episode. And now, as soon as he walks in, I get to see, what's his name? Oh, shoot.
Kreese?
No, the
Hawk? Eli?
Yeah. Me? Hawk. Like a kind of, you know, be, you know, scared, and then, you know, am I supposed to feel for him now, or, you know, that he's going to do a change? But I mean, I just saw him do this and I was doing this. It's very inconsistent, and and the switch is very, very fast after we had already seen a change from season one,
mm-hmm.
and that went into season two. And so, you know, it's a lot, because it's just supposed to be a karate dojo. You know, what's this kid supposed to tell his parents when he gets home?
Yeah, why are you covered in somebody else's blood?
Yeah,
especially since you're wearing white.
I don't know. It's all season long with Hawk. I will agree with you, Manny, that it's like, will he, won't he, to change? And because he keeps looking like regretful after a bad choice, but then goes ahead and runs with it. But after this one, I felt he was gone.
Yeah,
Christine, what do you think?
I feel like it's just part of his transition, where he's like battling that part of himself,
mm-hmm.
and it's like I don't think that he's I don't know, I don't see, and I may be wrong, but I don't see redemption. I don't see like anything where he's going to get back to Eli, you know, at uh-huh. least not anytime soon. Like, maybe that's what they're doing, because even Tori, and that girl's freaking crazy. She, the way she looked, mm-hmm. at him, like, wow, you've lost it, you know. So it's just maybe that's where they're going with it.
Maybe I don't know, but he definitely that kid would definitely be in jail. The last thing we know, dealing more with Kreese, we find out that he filed a restraining order against Amanda, and because Amanda goes to file one against him, and then she threatens a nuclear option, which is basically she wants to use that sleazy landlord that rents the Cobra Kai strip mall out. She makes a deal with him to kick Cobra Kai out. Daniel returns. They think everything's good to go, but it's not. It's not at all. the landlord is unable to force Cobra Kai and Kreese out. And Kreese threatens to strike back over the phone and has a bunch of nope ropes placed in the cars over at LaRusso Automotive. I thought that was first off a not possible for you to do, Mr. Kreese, even with your Cobra Kai kids. But still cool and funny, you know. I don't know why people were looking in the cars and just all of a sudden the snakes knew when to come out and scare people, but it was in the script. What'd you think of his big, here's my, godfather, horse head in the bed moment. Manny, what'd you think?
I thought, the snakes in the cars. Yeah, that's good. You know, it's something that doesn't necessarily hurt anyone. It's just going to scare the crap out of a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so I like that. I thought that was a whole lot more controlled and a lot. And, you know, it's still vile and it's still going to send the right message, but it's not, you know, having another kid bash somebody's, you know, another kid.
Nobody did threaten to still have that happen.
Right. But, I thought that was a good moment.
Yeah.
You know, especially because it was, you know, with the phone call and everything, that's very sinister. Yeah, that's the good stuff.
What do you think, Kristen? You like it?
Yeah, and I just like thinking about, like, I just had this thought with the sleazy landlord not going to the cops. Instead, he's like just, you know, showing his belly and like, oh yeah, sure, you can stay even though you know hurt us. Are the cops in this city like, yeah, are they worse than the adults? Like, you know, it's like no one wants to call them. So I'm wondering if that's what's up.
They've been defunded in Los Angeles.
They're all super. They're all the super troopers group.
Do you need some assistance?
So her nuclear option fails and Kreese is going to strike back. It's this thing though, we learn with his captain and the stuff in Nam and Kreese's obsession with Miyagi that makes me think that somewhere in Vietnam at some point he fights or is held prisoner by somebody trained in Miyagi-Do, somebody related to Miyagi-Do, because karate came from China through Southeastern Asia and into Japan eventually through Okinawa and whatnot. So I really think that's a possibility, and I think that's where season 4 is going. But last bit of the episode breakdown, guys, more Miguel and Johnny. We're going to talk one really, really important part here. Miguel snaps. Johnny has kind of been... while yeah, he's there for Miguel. Miguel can kind of see, what's the word I'm looking for? He's not, his heart's not there or something. You know, they spend time doing all this stuff for Allie, which I'm sure, Manny, are you liking the Facebook relationship advice? going on.
It's cringy. It's really, really cringy.
Yes.
But it's so true. That's what he would do.
It's cringy in an entertaining way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it fits his character.
He would have a 3,500 word Facebook message ready to send.
And liking every single one of her pictures.
Oh God.
Like, oh God, no.
Oh man. Terrible. But Miguel tells him to quiet, you know. He says, you're a sensei, you're a teacher. That's what you're supposed to be doing, and you're not doing it. Cobra Kai was yours. You let Kreese take it. You let him turn our friends, our students, into bullies, and that's bad. And lo and behold, Miguel is standing.
Yep.
I liked it. I thought it was both powerful for Miguel, as in finding what he needed, which was to reciprocate to Johnny giving him what he needed a while ago, I believe. That's what I got from it, Christine. What about you?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, teachers need some advice as well, and he definitely needed it.
Now I am the master. Yeah. Manny?
No, I liked it. It was done well.
Mm-hmm. I think I love juxtaposition, and I love stereotypes, like, you know, master surpassing or student surpassing master and stuff like that. It's all good, feel good stuff, lots of fun. Miguel standing, and we still have 4 episodes left, ladies and gentlemen, which means there's still time to see Miguel do something besides physical therapy. Yeah. But we might not see too much because we still have season 4. And yeah, any last comments on episode 6 before we grade it? Anyone? Did I miss any notes? Thing big?
I was going to say, if you wanted to talk about the scene with Tori and Miguel.
Oh, Tori and Miguel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very important because Tori, again, is a fractured soul with problems, and she gets the feeling from Miguel that he used her to, you know, make what's her name, Sam, jealous, or to get back at Sam. And yeah, their stuff doesn't go down very well, Christine. Who's at fault? You're the girl. Who's at fault in real life?
They both are. They don't know how to communicate. It drives me crazy. And instead, that's what I don't get. Why do people who get cheated on constantly go after the other person instead of the person they're dating? Like,
yeah.
I think I said it from the last season when we were talking about this, where mm-hmm. it's like, why didn't you kick his ass?
Yes.
I you know, yeah, yeah. There's a highly inappropriate army joke I'm not gonna go into, but Manny, what'd you think? Because I think it, Christine's right, it's kind of an important thing, especially for Tori. I don't know what it's really gonna do for the Miguel character, because I honestly, when it comes to the boyfriend girlfriend stuff with Robbie, Sam, Miguel, and Tori, I really don't know if any of those 4 are going to end up in any combination together. And I really don't know that I want them to, because I don't think it would be healthy for them in any way, given everything that's happened in any combination. So what do you think, Manny, character wise, who is this most important for, or is it equal?
That's actually a really good question, because I don't think it affects Miguel very much. Because we saw it a couple of episodes ago. He's so in love with
Sam.
Sam still.
Yep.
I talked about that moment when she walked in and he gives her that look.
Yep.
And so if anything, you know, it's kind of like, ah, crap, I ran into her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for her, I think she's just mad at everything right now that I don't really think it does anything for her at this
point. Okay.
She's dealing with so much, and then she's got Kreese in her ear that, you know, Miguel could have said all the right things. And, which, I mean, I'm not saying he didn't, but It wouldn't matter.
At this point. Yeah, she still would have been mad. And
yeah.
And even so, Kreese would be like, oh, he's not strong enough. You're too strong for him. He's weak. He's in a wheelchair. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's exactly what would happen.
Yep. I agree. Because of a lot of the military shit that really pissed me the fuck off. Some of the other stuff that didn't make sense. I gave it a B, but if they went back and corrected all of the army stuff, military stuff, I'm willing to say it could have gone up to a B+. Christine?
B-.
Okay. Any?
Because it's Kreese stuff. I don't want to.
Kreese stuff?
I don't care.
Manny, it's the D because it was all Kreese.
It's really close to a D, but I gave it a C-.
Wow, I was close.
The Kreese stuff is terrible. I think that the depiction of the kids just really in the beginning, yeah. I didn't like that either. I didn't like there's just so much I didn't like about it that did not feel Cobra Kai. Sometimes I feel. Oh, not necessarily I feel bad. I mean, it doesn't make a difference to me, but I have, based on what I've given other episodes for what reason, especially in the first and second season, I don't really have a choice. Like, it's really, really messy compared to kind of that. You had mentioned it before. It feels like there's too much going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's reaching to the point where it's really hard to get into it for me, at least, especially now that you made an episode that had so much of Kreese's backstory.
Yeah.
And then with what's going on with Hawk and all those kind of things. And then, you know, we are at episode 6.
Mm-hmm.
And so the feeling I'm getting, we're not really going to get much of Miguel, because if you tell me that by the end of this season,
he's going to be back to karate,
to some, you know, to a great finale like we've seen before, two great finales, by the way. You better have a 6 months later or something like that, because other than that, you know, it's gonna be and you know, we get really unless I forgot about a part, but we didn't really get any of Sam. Mm-mm. I think it was a mess of an episode.
I mean, there's a bit with her and her mom earlier. I think it's in episode 5 where her mom thinks everything's all about karate, and Sam's like, no, you don't understand what's going on. And again, that goes back to that season 1 issue of nobody talking to each other. So what happens next, ladies and gentlemen? We're going to be doing episodes 7, 8, and 9 next Thursday. I'm excited to hear Miyagi-Do has others out there in the world. Like I said, it's kind of unfortunate that it seems like there was a good story here in season 2 that got sacrificed in order to do setups for season 4. Hopefully that means season 4 will be amazing.
Oh man.
It's just
the way you're thinking about it right now.
Oh.
You know, it's almost like the Amazing Spider-Man 2, where it's like, this movie doesn't matter because what's coming up next is so much better.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, like a lot of book series, like, you know, maybe like book 3 is kind of like, it'll be slow within like that last book, you know, maybe something like that.
I don't know, because they think of like some of the best seasons of shows, like the best season of Buffy is season 3.
Well, I'm not saying that this specifically, like other shows. I'm saying like, because it happens sometimes with like books,
okay,
or something like that. So like maybe it's sometimes it can be like this, where like there's a season where it's like it's good, but there's before it and after it are better. You know, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
But I am still enjoying it. It's really good.
I am too, and that's the important thing, is even when it's kind of annoying, you're still for the most part down to hit play next episode.
Yep.
So yeah. Anyone else got anything they want to say? No.
I'm very worried to where the season's headed, because to this point, I don't have a tournament necessarily that we're striving for. I don't have. You have Daniel, who is, you know, doing the right thing and taking some time for his business. Kids are scattered everywhere. Miguel can barely walk. And sometime in this whole mess, we're still going to concentrate on Allie. Yeah,
we're going to get with her. So
you're going to add more to it. And I doubt that this is the last time we see flashbacks for Kreese, because obviously it has to lead somewhere, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So there's just so much to do, and they got only a couple of episodes left.
Yep. Yep. And you guys will be able to hear us talk about those in depth next week. Someone asked that we're overanalyzed. I'm like this is what we do. Like,
yeah. My dad accuses us of doing that.
Overanalyzing. Like, I can be completely take Endgame, for example. And Manny, you can back me up with any movie that was similar. Endgame didn't do it for you, but I think it did it for just about everyone on Earth, money.
Endgame didn't do it for me. Who said that?
I was making a joke, man.
Oh, okay. I was gonna.
Because the earlier DC joke I made.
Yeah.
Anyway, wait. He's, crap. And now that I made that joke, where was I going with the Endgame thing? What was I saying?
Dissecting everything.
Oh, dissecting it. I sat in Endgame, and in shock and awe over the portal scene. In shock and awe of Cap using Mjolnir, and was still able to go the next day and talk about it for, 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually that night, talk about it for three hours with Brian. So it's fun, guys. Yeah, we're overanalyzing it, but it's fun. Enjoy it.
I used to tease you for that, but it is fun. Because we would watch a movie, and then y'all would talk about it for 3 hours, and I'm just like, God, really?
How did you see that? Where did you see so-and-so touch this and that set off that? Yeah, caught it all. Used to catch it all. But yeah, guys, we do. We love it. We hope you guys love it. Thank you guys for listening. Even if you think we're over-analyzing, trust us. We are still having fun with a silly show about kids and karate. Right? I think overall, yeah. Manny?
Yeah. Yeah, no, just because I'm critical of the show, I haven't enjoyed it.
Exactly.
This
so,
season particularly.
Everyone, make sure you're doing all the things you're supposed to be doing, like going to LRMonline.com every day for all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. YouTube channel, lots of interviews, including Cobra Kai-related interviews from Manny. And Gig just did one with Colin Mockery. I'm really jealous about that. For those Whose Line Is It Anyways fans, there's an interview up with Colin Mockery and some others in a new project he's working on. So yeah, our YouTube channel, follow it, subscribe to Who It, and you can get podcasts there too, but you can also get the podcast anywhere else, from Spotify to Google to SoundCloud, all that good stuff. Great shows, guys. We've got 10 things a week starting this week and next week. I can't even get into all of it. Manny, where can people find you at online?
So just real quick, the two interviews I did with Cobra Kai Talents. One of them is with Mary Mauser and with she plays her mom. She plays Amanda. I'm so sorry. And anyway, we talk a lot about, we take 5 minutes to talk about the LaRusso family specifically. Mm-hmm. And then also I had a chance to talk with Sholo and I think her name is Veronica, who plays his mom in mm-hmm. Cobra Kai. And we talk about his predicament. And also me ranting for a couple of seconds about how she needs to be more on the show. because I'm so interested in and her mom's story as to Creasy's. Anywho, you should check those out. Both of them are up on LRM Online, as Kyle mentioned. Really good. And you can find me on Twitter at LRM underscore Emmanuel, and also on Instagram at riddlemethis underscore 510. And yeah, and that's where we reside on social media.
You guys follow me at that Kyle Malone on Twitter, or at that one. That's the number one. At that one Kyle Malone on Instagram. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will talk to you next week. Now get the fuck out of the dojo, pussies.